My name is Eric Kirk. This is Thursday Night Talk. My guests tonight are several representatives in a local labor dispute involving St. Joseph's Health System. On the line, I'm going to have Charlie Rogel, who is the lead negotiator, the union rep. In the studio with me are Kelly Shaner, who's been a nurse's aide at St. Joseph Eureka for about 5 years, currently in the Progressive Care Unit. She's been a member of the organizing committee that led the effort to form a union at St. Joseph's, and she's a member of the union bargaining committee, which has been in negotiations with St. Joseph for about a year. Also with me is Alan McCloskey. He is on the lift team at St. Joseph and a certified lab tech and a certified nursing assistant. He's worked with St. Joseph for 2 years. Prior to that, he worked in public administration representing tribes all over California. We did invite St. Joseph to bring in representatives to speak as well. They had declined the offer and have prepared a statement, which I'm going to read twice during the show, and we're hoping that maybe we'll get some balance out of the callers. It's going to be very hard to do this show fair and balanced in terms of because we've got three people in here, and I'll disclose that I come from a long line of union activist families, so I'm going to have to make a special effort to be unbiased in this. But I do have a number of questions to ask. Before I read the St. Joseph statement, I'd like to have Charlie explain, give us a little bit of background. He's not on yet. Okay. Maybe do one of you want to give a little bit of the background as to why we're here? Go ahead.
Alan, go for it.
Yeah, sure. So just a little history on where we've gotten to, how we've gotten to this point. Shortly after I came on at St. Joe here in Eureka, it became very evident that there were a myriad of issues that had been kind of coming to a head over the past few years. I, shortly after coming on with the hospital, made an effort to reach out to David O'Brien.
What are the basic issues?
The basic issues are patient to staff ratios, which are consistently way, way too low. They never staff to the levels that they really should. Wages are a huge factor. Many of you out there may have heard of our local campaign with End Poverty at St. Joe Eureka and Fortuna. I think also undervaluing our local workforce, our local staff, in the way that we communicate with staff, the way that we treat staff, the way that we value staff and reward staff for quality patient care, if you want to call it that.
All right. Well, let me read the statement from Robert Eisen, who is the Regional Vice President, Human Resources at St. Joseph Health, Northern California, prepared this following statement. St. Joseph Health began here in Humboldt County and has been a loyal and generous partner of this community for the past century. We deeply value the great work our St. Joseph Health Humboldt County staff do every day to ensure compassionate and quality care is provided to our community. For this reason, we have long recognized their dedication by offering fair and competitive wages and benefits, while also working together to meet the new challenges of the healthcare environment. Our patients in our community count on St. Joseph Health, Humboldt County, to operate as efficiently as possible at a time when hospitals are getting paid less to do more. Yet we have always held to our values and upheld the dignity of our employees by providing them a just and competitive compensation and benefits package. The NUHW, that is the name of the union. What does that stand for?
That's the National Union of Healthcare Workers.
Okay. Our report contains inaccuracies that we need to clear up. St. Joseph Health Humboldt County average NUHW represented employee system is $18.50 per hour, not $12.95 per hour as stated by NUHW. We prefer to have these conversations at the bargaining table, where we are negotiating with NUHW on contracts for our valued service and technical employees. We are committed to reaching mutual acceptable agreements through constructive, good faith bargaining that our valued service and technical employees can support. That is the way we respect and treat one another, not just in Humboldt County, but throughout our Catholic ministry. As we work together to meet the challenges of the new healthcare environment, please be assured that we will continue to provide the exceptional level of patient care Humboldt County has come to expect from our hospitals. We want you to be well informed about our pay and benefit practices and to know how privileged we are to work with so many talented and dedicated individuals who do their very best to serve you, our Humboldt County friends and neighbors. So why don't we respond? Charlie, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
You've had a chance to hear that statement?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Would you like to respond to anything in particular? I suppose the sticking point here is a difference, and there's no way that anybody can verify one way or another, but they claim that that the union has stated that the average is $12.95 per hour. They state it's $18.50. Do you understand why there might be a discrepancy there?
Yes. The technical workers are more highly paid, and so if you average everybody, it's possible that you come up with a wage of $18.95 or whatever they said.
Mm-hmm.
The service workers, which is a larger number, their wages are much lower. There's probably maybe a couple hundred people at the hospital that are under $12 an hour. The lowest wage that is paid is $10.90. And that's paid for entry-level housekeeping, food service, entry-level clerical, nursing assistants, monitor techs. Now you're starting to get closer to the $12 an hour range. Kelly, who's there with you, might want to speak about her wage rate and what her coworkers' wage rates are. And the only thing that I would say is that at these wage levels, people qualify for public assistance programs.
You mentioned that, yeah.
Right. And so while they say that our report is inaccurate, there's not really any specific refutation of a specific fact in the report.
Kelly, would you like to add to that?
Yeah, so as far as my wages go, I started at the hospital as a housekeeper making $10.40 an hour about 5 years ago. And prior to joining the union and starting the union, we had gotten letters from the hospital saying that they had had this financial windfall and they were rewarding us for all of our hard work, and they were just so happy that they were able to do this gracious thing, and they gave a 50-cent raise to all of the 10-40 people and a 2% raise to everybody else. At that time, I had transitioned from EVS to nurse's aide, which put me at $10.97. So at that point, I was making 7 cents more than a brand new hire to the hospital, which at 3 years of service upset me. Currently, after pushing a little bit to get a little more money, I make $11.39 an hour, which at 72 hours of pay period, after I pay taxes, put money in my 401, which isn't a lot, it's about 6%, and I take care of my family and I pay all of our medical expenses, gives me about a $490 paycheck.
Now, I solicited opinions from people I know who are on both sides of this argument, and one of from somebody who sympathizes more with the management in the dispute says that there's actually a pretty good benefits package, even if there isn't a really, even if the wages aren't as high as everybody would like. Want to speak to that?
For me, the benefits are great. You know, I do have a family of, there's three of us, and it's great that I can keep my son and my wife covered. However, you know, my son, you know, had to go to the emergency room. He cut his hand. That was a $150 deductible to go into a place where I work and receive services from, you know, a place that I work, and I have to walk out knowing that I have a $150 bill I have to pay. And at $11.39 an hour, that's, you know, a shift and a half worth of time I have to put in just to pay a bill. So if I take 150 off that 498 I just brought home, that doesn't really leave me much to do for my bills or my family.
And I think we have to kind of clarify the context of that question too, mm-hmm. because while the benefits that are offered are wonderful, there is undoubtedly a shared cost that is passed on to the employees. I mean, we all pay those shared costs, and there is a cost for those benefits.
Well, let me ask another question. Because one of the things that the union has done was to compare the wages with out of the area wages, Santa Rosa, for instance, and the rest, where costs of living are higher. And additionally, what this same person told me is that 60% of the patients locally are either on Medicare or Medi-Cal, which means that they lose a lot of money. Because you can't collect as much, whereas in Santa Rosa, it's much more from private insurance and private pay, and so they're in a better position to offer higher wages because they have a better income, and that maybe the income-generating ability locally just isn't quite at...
Right, and we've heard this soundbite before. This is something that the administration at St. Joe Eureka has tried to get the staff to buy into. After doing a lot of research and analyzing the hospital's profit margins, the system's profit margins, I don't know how they can say that and expect us to believe it, because the thing that David O'Brien said to us at the onset of our efforts to bring in the union was that we have a bad payer mix. These people don't pay their bills. These people get sick, and then we have to pay for it. When in reality, you know, when you stop and analyze the finances for St. Joe Eureka, which is part of a much larger healthcare corporation, you know, we're talking about revenues of $5.6 billion as a corporate entity, mm-hmm. with net profits in excess of $300 million. So when they say these things, you know, it's reason for concern. You take pause and you say, show me these bad payers, you know?
But one of the things that, again, this one person said is that the Mayo Clinic, for instance, no longer takes Medicare, so that puts them in a better position if they're taking straight out only insurance. And again, that's not an option here because you need income from where you can get it. Are you challenging the 60% Medicare Medi-Cal recipients, or are you challenging that it affects their income? What you've done the research, what did your research show?
I think I'm challenging the fact that they're saying that it's affecting the income stream that's coming into the hospital, mm-hmm. or in some way or somehow magically that these people that don't have insurance or have difficulty getting coverage are creating a hardship on the hospital.
Okay.
There's another element, if I could chime in, and that is that the double standard that exists here. If, in fact, there's a lower payer mix, as they say, and that is the reason why you're going to pay the workers less, then why don't you pay the executives less than you pay the executives in Santa Rosa?
And they're not? Is that what you're saying?
No.
It's on the same scale?
Yeah.
One of the other questions that was raised is that we have a hard time getting specialists here, medical doctor specialists. We are short. People are actually, people have complained that they've had to go down to Santa Rosa or even further to get treatment, and that some of the money that, you know, would otherwise go towards higher wages is needed to try to attract medical personnel locally so that patients don't have to undergo the expense and have difficulty with their own insurance companies traveling out of the area for a shortage of specialists. Would anybody like to address that? Charlie?
Well, that may be true. I'm not an expert on what doctor's specialties that they need.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that probably most of the care that is provided at the hospital is you know, family primary care. One of the problems that they have attracting technical workers, respiratory therapists, pharmacy techs, ultrasound techs, and, you know, skilled licensed technical workers, is that even for those classifications, the wages are 20-30% behind Santa Rosa, which is another hospital in the same system. They pay wages that are a lot less than the Mercy Hospital in Reading. So, you know, they can point to a lot of things, but mm-hmm. the reality is that this is a profitable hospital. It's part of a very profitable system. It pays its executives on a par with executives at other hospitals. It just doesn't pay its workers, right? And while they can make statements about their values and how they, value their employees and all that, really, it doesn't pass the straight face test, right? If you really value your workers, pay them something more than $10.90 an hour. I was at a negotiation yesterday with St. Joseph in the Petaluma Valley Hospital, a little south of Santa Rosa, and I was looking at some of the wage rates. Their housekeepers are paid over $20 an hour.
Okay.
Right? So...
This is where? I'm sorry.
In Petaluma.
Petaluma.
Right? And so one of the things that these hospitals tell people in Eureka is, well, we have to pay you a lot less because the cost of living is higher in Santa Rosa. You know what they tell the workers in Santa Rosa at the St. Joseph Hospital there, Memorial? We have to pay you lower wages because the cost of living in San Francisco and Oakland is higher. So it's really just like a passing the buck kind of system. So if they really value these workers, they would pay them a lot more.
Well, you mentioned a comparison with Reading. How do local wages compare with Valley Healthcare, which is about low income, possibly lower income areas than Humboldt County, as opposed to Sonoma County or Reading County?
The wages paid at Mercy Reading are a lot higher. I don't have them handy here, but they're a lot higher than the St. Joseph of Eureka.
And if I could, real quick, I think I'd like to kind of address your question about specialists.
Mm-hmm.
I think they kind of make these statements under veil, if you will, because people don't really know or understand what specialties are available. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of sells short the practitioners that we have available here at St. Joe in Eureka, or that are part of the St. Joe Eureka network. So I'd like to know what specifically they're referencing when they say that we have a lack of specialists that provide care at St. Joe, because I if you look at some of the educational and the medical professional background of some of our practitioners, it's pretty darn competitive and it's pretty darn impressive.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not able to ask them because, as we say, they are not here.
And I think we should mention that. What does it say that we have now a publicly accessible forum here with you and your show at KHSU, and the hospital has failed to step up to the plate and engage in an open and transparent dialogue about an issue that really has a very huge socioeconomic impact on our local community?
Well, hold that thought. We'll get back to that in just a minute. Let me just do a little bit here. You are listening to KHSU. This is Thursday Night Talk. My name is Eric Kirk. My guests are Charlie Rogel, Kelly Shaner, and Alan McCloskey on the labor side of the local healthcare dispute with the St. Joseph system. And let me invite callers. If you are in the area, phone number is 826-4805, or out of the area is 1-800-640-5911. That's 826-4805 or 800-640-5911. Why don't I ask, how did we get started here? When was the union formed? Is that a very recent event?
It's relatively recent. I think the union election took place in April, was it, of 2014?
Okay, so then got started. So was that a catalyzing event to start the negotiations?
Well, the in order for the union to go to the bargaining table, the union has to have a majority support, which is certified through a National Labor Relations Board election, where the service workers voted by 2-1 margin. Mm-hmm. To join the union, and then several months later, the technical workers voted by 4-1 margin to join the union. There is one element that I just want to, while people are calling in, I just want to piggyback on something that Alan said in terms of the socioeconomic effect of this hospital's wage policies in Humboldt County, and that is that they are nonprofit, so they can't call their profits, right? But they do not pay taxes like any other large employer would pay taxes. So there's a double whammy against the economy of Humboldt County, because on one level you have a very large employer who does not pay taxes like other employers. Okay, fair enough, they're a nonprofit. But what happens when they pay their workers so little that they qualify for public benefits, it's the taxpayers that end up subsidizing the wages of a profitable employer. It's what we call the Walmart model, right? Walmart and other large employers like this actually have seminars where they teach their employees how to go apply for public benefits because they don't pay them enough. And so there's a social justice element question here, that why should workers like Kelly or Alan and many other coworkers who work full-time and more than full-time not earn enough money while they're working for a profitable employer so that the taxpayers end up having to subsidize the employer's real cost? So I think there's a lot to be said in Alan's point about what is the socioeconomic impact on Humboldt County and its population of this hospital's poor wage policies.
Now, one of the things that the St. Joseph has said is as to why they're not here tonight, for instance, is they prefer to keep the discussions private because they believe they'll be more productive that way. The union has clearly decided to take this to the public, and maybe you can tell us how long it went before you did that. I've seen yard signs in Eureka, for instance, referring to poverty, wages, and the like. Is there a reason that you chose to make it a public issue? Can you tell us maybe how the discussions have gone?
Absolutely. We started bargaining at the beginning of last October. They would not agree to meet very frequently at all. And we've met at like a total of 20 times, roughly 2 days a month, right? They've canceled a number of meetings on pretext. Like one pretext was, the union filed another election, so we have to get ready for that NLRB hearing. Therefore, we're canceling bargaining. A more recent cancellation was, we have a state inspection, so we're going to cancel bargaining, even though the people that do labor relations have nothing to do with the state inspectors, right? If we had been making progress at the bargaining table, we wouldn't have taken it to the public. But after months and months of bargaining, we reached one significant concession with the employer across the bargaining table. So the bargaining process is, I would classify it as broken, right? And we told the hospital multiple times, if we don't make progress at the bargaining table, we're going to take our issue to the community of Eureka. A hospital is not like some other institution in the community, like you can go to a different department store or a different hardware store. This is the major hospital, the major healthcare provider here. There's no public hospital, and there's a few other private hospitals. So if the bargaining process were working, we wouldn't be spending our members' money buying signs and taking time to be on the radio. We want to reach out to the community of Eureka and explain to them how this hospital is not being a good corporate citizen and how this process is broken and how they're disrespecting this community and these workers. That's what this is about. Yes, we're taking it to the public. What else could we do?
Now, how many workers do you represent, Charlie?
I believe the service unit is somewhere around 300 and some, and the technical unit is another 100 and some. So altogether about, if you count Redwood, close to 500.
In Redwood Memorial being in Fortuna.
Right.
Is Southern Humboldt part of this system at all? They're not. So, and Mad River is certainly not. So we're talking just St. Joseph's and Redwood Memorial. But that's a significant amount of the local health care that's in two of the biggest population centers.
They're the largest private sector employer in Humboldt County.
And how many employees do you know, even outside those that you represent?
Probably including the workers in our three bargaining units, I would say maybe a couple thousand, because there's going to be several hundred registered nurses, and then there's workers that are the doctors, the business office clericals are probably not, they're not in our union, so I would without having the figures off the top of my head, probably a couple thousand employees.
So very significant employer. The claim is, of course, and I don't know if you came into the show a little bit late, but the claim is that because we have such a high rate of Medi-Cal and Medicare recipients, we are an aging population in Humboldt County, although we do have a number of children. We have a little bit of a baby boom happening. But Have you taken up the question of whether or not they have the revenue to grant the wage increases that you want?
We believe they do, that they're a profitable hospital. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons that we've talked about their role in the community and the socioeconomic impact is because, as the largest private sector employer, if they were to increase their wages, it would create upward pressure on wages of service workers throughout, right? And if more workers in Humboldt County and Eureka were compensated better, then there would be the possibility of more private insurance and a reduced need for people to depend on the Medi-Cal system, right? One of the things that Bob Eisen mentioned in his statement was that hospitals are being asked to do more with less, and that's really not quite correct. Yes, they're being asked to do more, but they are also receiving more resources. One of the elements of the Affordable Care Act is subsidies to people so that more people can buy insurance, because essentially the Affordable Care Act is an expansion of the insurance market by giving a greater number of people more entry into the insurance, the ability to buy insurance. So throughout the country, particularly in the states of like California that set up its own exchange and have been supportive of the effort, there are more people that have access to health care. So, yes, the hospitals are being asked to do more, but they're also being given greater resources to do it. That's the influx of money from the Affordable Care Act.
And we are going to read the statement again briefly. They also published in the local paper, the Times Standard, on Sunday a statement that is a little bit different, but has a lot of stuff. They reference that they contribute $39 million to support local programs, that they that in fact the hospitals spend between $22,000 and $31,000 a year for each covered family. Are you familiar with the statement that was in the paper?
No, it was sent to me in a text, and I have to confess I've not read the whole thing.
Okay, all right. It's very similar to the statement that I will read, and maybe I'll just read that so that it's an additional statement. I'm assuming St. Joseph wouldn't mind. It says, "Dear Humboldt County neighbor, recently you may have read materials from large out-of-town union representatives that have misleading information about our St. Joseph Health Humboldt County Ministries, St. Joseph Hospital Eureka, and Redwood Memorial Hospital. We want to make sure you hear directly from us on this important topic. There have been many misstatements about how we pay our staff. As a non-for-profit, faith-based healthcare provider committed to honoring the dignity and service of everyone who works on our teams, St. Joseph Health provides our valued employees with competitive wages, which are determined by comparing our salaries to local and national compensation surveys. We offer programs which ensure we fairly compensate our lowest income staff members. Benefits are also closely examined every year. Employees choose from generous health insurance options that fits their needs. St. Joseph Health Humboldt pays for 100% of the full-time employees' exclusive provider premium and most of the costs for family members. In fact, our hospitals spend between $22,000 and $31,000 per year for each covered family. Depending on the particular plan the employee chooses, and while the cost to provide these health care benefits has increased over the years, we have absorbed the majority of these expenses. St. Joseph Health began here in Humboldt County and has been a loyal and generous partner of this community for the past century. While government regulations and economic pressures are reducing our reimbursements and asking us to continue to provide better care, we have continually reinvested in our communities. For fiscal year 2014, we contributed a combined $39 million to support local programs that provide important services for people in need. Presently, we are at the bargaining table with unions representing our service and technical employees. We are working very hard to reach a mutually acceptable agreement through constructive good faith bargaining. That is the way we respect and treat one another, not just in Humboldt County, but throughout our Catholic ministry. We want you to be well informed about our pay and benefit practices. and to know how privileged we are to work with so many talented and dedicated individuals who do their very best to serve you, our Humboldt County friends and neighbors. This is slightly different from the statement that I will read again at a certain point, but what about the argument that you're comparing wages with other areas, but how do their benefits packages
The benefit packages are similar, if not the same, throughout the system.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the benefit packages in Santa Rosa Memorial, for example, are going to cost more because many benefits are tied to the wage rate. So your vacation, if you have a higher wage rate, your vacation is more expensive.
Okay.
I mean, I guess what I would say is, people should read the report for themselves,
mm-hmm,
and make their own decisions. It's a well-researched paper. It's footnoted. It's researched. It's information. It's based on information that the hospital itself provides to the government. And people should just read it for themselves.
Where can
almost
they find
I sort of have to laugh at some of the statements, the way these statements are written. I think they're written by, you know, publicity experts. But I think if they, you know, if they really value their employees, you know, I forget what that movie was where the guy says, show me the money, you know. Give me a living wage that I can live on without depending on the taxpayers to subsidize what you're not paying me, and then I'll believe that you really care about me.
Where can listeners read the report? And who prepared the report, by the way?
The report was prepared by a researcher in our research department at the union.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's, you know, it's amply documented, footnoted, and researched. It's not, you know, so,
okay,
you know,
but where can they find it? Is it online available? I know the Lost Coast Outpost has a link to it.
Eric, as soon as we get done here with the show, I'd be happy to get onto your Facebook,
uh-huh,
and post the link to an electronic document.
Okay.
Or listeners can download and view the document and the report in its entirety.
I'll also post it on my blog, Soham Parlance.
It's also available on the union's website, nuhw.org.
Okay. All right, listen, you're listening to KHSU. This is Thursday Night Talk. My name is Eric Kirk. My guests are Charlie Rogel, Kelly Shaner, Alan McCloskey, all representatives on the labor side of the dispute. The phone number, for if anybody would like to join the conversation, and I know that there are people of various opinions who are listening in, so maybe you want to chime in if there's something that you want to respond to. The phone number, 826-4805. Or 1-800-640-5911 if you're out of the area. That's 826-4805 and 1-800-640-5911. And once again, I'm going to read the two-paragraph statement sent by Robert Eisen, Regional Vice President, Human Resources, St. Joseph Health, Northern California. Again, St. Joseph Health began here in Humboldt County and has been a loyal and generous partner of this community for the past century. We deeply value the great work our St. Joseph Health Humboldt County staff do every day to ensure that compassionate and quality care is provided to our community. For this reason, we have long recognized their dedication by offering fair and competitive wages and benefits while also working together to meet the new challenges of the healthcare environment. Our patients and community count on St. Joseph Health Humboldt County to operate as efficiently as possible at a time when hospitals are getting paid less to do more. Yet we have always held to our values and upheld the dignity of our employees by providing them a just and competitive compensation and benefits package. The NUHW report contains inaccuracies that we need to clear up. The St. Joseph Health Humboldt County average NUHW represented employee wage is $18.50 per hour, not $12.95 per hour, as stated by NUHW. We prefer to have these conversations at the bargaining table where we are negotiating with NUHW on contracts for our valued service and technical employees. We're committed to reaching mutually acceptable agreements through constructive good faith bargaining that our valued service and technical employees can support. That is the way we respect and treat one another, not just in Humboldt County, but throughout our Catholic ministry. As we work together to meet the challenges of the new healthcare environment, please be assured that we will continue to provide the exceptional level of patient care Humboldt County has come to expect from our hospitals. We want you to be well informed about our pay and benefit practices and to know how privileged we are to work with so many talented and dedicated individuals who do their very best to serve you, our Humboldt County friends and neighbors. And you've touched on it, but where are you in the discussions at this time?
We have not got to any economic issues. We've been trying to hash out language, fair disciplinary procedures, how jobs are awarded, but the progress really has been almost non-existent. I will say, I don't know why this happened, but they did change the negotiator for management, and recently we had a new negotiator who seems to be wanting to move it a little bit faster, right?
Okay.
But again, the marching orders for these guys are issued in Orange County. One thing that didn't get mentioned by either the three of us, Alan Kelly or myself, or in the statements, is that one of the things that motivated workers at Redwood, the technical workers at St. Joseph of Eureka and Petaluma Valley, is that with the stroke of a pen several months ago, the St. Joseph Health System wiped out millions of dollars of worker equity and retiree health benefits, disability reserve benefits. They just wiped them out with the stroke of a pen. So we have a lot of people in these hospitals, including St. Joseph, who've been loyal employees for 20, 30 years and then accumulated a little bit of a benefit that they were expecting to get, wiped out with the stroke of a pen. So all the rhetoric about how they value the workers and the dignity and the justice and all of that, really, workers in the hospitals, they don't believe that the hospital believes in its own rhetoric, the way they've been treated. The sense of betrayal is very deep in this workforce. They haven't mentioned how they wiped out millions of dollars, just took it out of the workers' pockets and put it in their own pocket. The CEO of the St. Joseph system recently retired, salary of over $1 million a year. So if we're talking about faith-based charity and all of that stuff and nonprofit and low payer mix, then maybe the sacrifices should start at the top.
Okay. We will take our first caller, Denny in Arcata. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. I'm curious about this assertion that our cost of living here in this area is lower than elsewhere. I wonder if anybody has any facts on that. I'm pretty sure our gasoline costs are higher, just for one.
Oh, definitely. Highest in the country, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, we pay indirectly for goods to be trucked up here. I've heard people say, and I don't really know how true it is, but I have heard several people say that our rents compare to the Bay Area. So, or, you know, perhaps Santa Rosa.
Maybe Santa Rosa. Definitely not San Francisco.
Right. But I'd definitely say Arcata probably ranks up there. Mm-hmm. Rents aren't exactly cheap in this college town. But I'd also like to address Bob Eisen's letter and... nobody is disputing that St. Joseph isn't littered with fantastic, wonderful, talented employees. I mean, we have, you know, the kitchen people who are up before roosters making, you know, meals for the entire hospital. We have nurses and nurses aides who are holding dying patients' hands because their family can't get here in time. I mean, it's wonderful experiences like that you know, we aren't arguing that we aren't being filled with, you know, wonderful employees. We're arguing that the hospital is not treating us with the four pillars that they were founded on. You know, we don't have, you know, a lot of people don't feel they have dignity or, you know, there's no excellence involved in the way we're being treated. No justice for the way people are treated, the nepotism and the favoritism. You know, where you're hearing from people that there are people not getting promoted because the manager is male and they're female workers and they're trying to move up, but, you know, regardless of their seniority, they're going to move up their, you know, friend who's been there for 3 years who's a male, they'll give them a job, but not the woman that's been there for 20 years, mm-hmm. you know, who's completely overly qualified for the position. So we aren't, you know, this isn't about, you know, us not being wonderful people that are working there. We just want the hospital to treat us like we matter. You know, whether it's with pay, the way they treat us in the hallways, you know, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the way we're treated every day we walk in. We walk in every day to give the four pillars of the hospital back to every patient, every encounter, every family. And we don't feel we get the same from the hospital. So to answer, you know, to go to Denny's question, you know, in looking and talking to the NUHW and talking to their researchers, the cost of living is very comparable between Santa Rosa and here. And, you know, we can't survive on $10.90 an hour. I can't survive on $11.39 an hour. You know, I have two boys at home, and every day I have to go into work extra shifts to be able to pay a bill. You know, I leave at least one of them in tears.
Well, further to Denny's question, Humboldt County is ranked as one of the 10 most or least affordable housing markets in the United States. And part of the reason for that is because they have lower wages compared to the cost of housing. So while another area may have a higher cost of housing, they also have higher wages. So when you do that comparison, Humboldt County is one of the 10 least affordable housing markets in the United States.
We also have rates driven up because of the number of grow houses. There's a whole aspect of Humboldt County, but thank you for that. Denny, do you have any follow-up at this point? Are you still there? Oh, I think we're okay. I think Denny is gone. Listen, if anybody else wants to join the conversation, phone number is 826-4805 or 1-800-640-5911. If you're out of the area, that's 826-4805, 1-800-640-5911. We're talking about dispute between labor and management with the St. Joseph Health System involving wages, but not just wages, other policies as well. We have Sandra from Eureka. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks. I am so offended every time I see one of St. Joe's ads in the paper about, you know, the four pillars that they follow. When I was a kid, that lets you know how old I am, and my dad, I got to say, was the first board-certified surgeon from Santa Rosa up into Oregon. I used to go with him when he would make rounds at the hospitals, and it was almost all nuns who were in the operating rooms and the recovery rooms doing everything. I bet that none of the nuns in the hierarchy down to Orange made anywhere near comparable to $1 million a year. And I have absolutely no faith in what any of the executives of St. Joe's are saying. Somebody that I know heard a former CEO of St. Joe's say in a public forum that he was going to put General Hospital out of business. And that is just so far from the value system that they're supposed to operate by.
General Hospital being, there used to be another hospital in Eureka that was...
Yeah, just down the street.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm old enough that I remember when St. Joe's was at the corner of Trinity and G, mm-hmm. I think, and General Hospital was that county building at Harris and H. And then there was a county hospital for indigents, and it was located sort of behind where the General Hospital campus is now. So there were three hospital systems that cooperated with each other. Nobody tried to put anybody else out of business.
So I think, Sandra, thank you for calling in. This is Alan from St.
Hi.
Joe.
Yeah.
Real quick, you said something that I think is very important that everybody needs to realize, that the St. Joe that we once knew, the St. Joseph Hospital of Eureka that was started here in Eureka based on the heartfelt ministry of the Sisters of Orange,
St. Joseph of Orange.
Right. Is no longer the St. Joe of today. The St. Joe that we're dealing with today is a huge, huge multi-billion dollar healthcare corporation that doesn't make decisions based on what's best for the community, what's best for the patient, what's best for the employees, or people in general. They are now making decisions based on what's best for profit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally agree.
And so when we see these things in the paper, it only is further amplification of the corporate rhetoric of if we print it, if people read it, they will believe it.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, for me and my family and a majority of our community, I think we're smarter than that. But I think we have to continue to remind people that when they say they're local, this is no longer a local small hospital that we're dealing with. It's a multi-billion dollar healthcare corporation with, like I said earlier, over $5.6 billion in revenue and over $300 million in profit.
Yeah. They're not a nonprofit.
Right.
Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you for your call, Sandra.
Thank you.
And I want to remind everybody, you're listening to KHSU Thursday Night Talk. My name is Eric Kirk. My guests are Charlie Rogel, Carol Kelly Shaner, Alan McCluskey, all union representatives. We have about 15 minutes left. Charlie, earlier you mentioned something about, with a pen, wiping out retirement benefits. Now, I know that other industries, for instance, in the educational system, they used to offer something called the golden handshake, because one way to save money was to encourage people to retire earlier. But and I guess the concern here would be that if you make it actually more difficult for them to retire, you're paying more for high seniority wages, whereas, you know, the teacher system, they were trying to kind of clear it out, get the older teachers to retire so they don't have to pay this high seniority wages and could bring in new teachers. Do you know what kind of what went into that decision making?
Well, I mean, I would just leave the listeners to judge for themselves. The workers accrue a disability reserve for when they have a long-term illness. So it's like a in-house disability program for if you have a long-term illness. And then workers also had a retirement benefit that would help pay for their medical insurance, primarily insurance, but medical expenses in retirement. There's a couple workers at St. Joe, I'm not going to mention their names, but who technical workers who had actually accumulated $40,000-$50,000 nest egg with which to, you know, provide for their medical needs in retirement, wiped out in one fell swoop. So millions of dollars were with one motion taken from workers' pockets and that was meant for them, and went right back in the system of the corporate entity that Alan described.
Is the union taking any position to restore that fund?
Well, we haven't got to the economics yet, mm-hmm. but we're gauging how strongly people feel about that, because there's some element in the workforce that feels like, well, that's gone. We're never going to get it back. There's another element that says, well, strike to get it back. So we're going to see how that develops in the next few months. Now, the service workers at in the service unit at St. Joseph joined the union before they made that move. So with the service unit and the workers in Santa Rosa that were already unionized, the St. Joseph system has to negotiate to eliminate that benefit.
Because
and by the way,
contract.
They've made it very clear that it's their intent to eliminate that benefit for everybody that they haven't already eliminated it for. So the points that Alan made about this is a corporation, this is about corporate greed, this is about undervaluing workers and overpaying executives, right on target, all of it.
All right. Listen, we have another caller. Joe in McKinleyville, you're on the air.
Oh, good evening, and thank you for the discussion. I'm certainly pro-union. I really think there's a lot of work to get us back to some of the original precepts of 1935 era, which is use unions. My first question actually is, what is the name of the union mm-hmm. negotiating?
Good question. We did say at the beginning of the program.
We are the NUHW. That's the National Union of Healthcare Workers.
NUHW. Well, I almost could have figured that one out. I just my wife is a county worker and works pretty strongly with Ask Me, which
right.
I won't delineate for you. But at any rate, I believe you know you guys are all in the same boat trying to get your messages out. They, the county workers, a lot of people are under the impression they get full payment for insurance, and the fact is they don't. They pay full amount. It's always been from $1,000 to $1,500 a month to cover a family, you know, with three kids and seven. So county workers actually pay full price for their insurance, health insurance, and it's a little better over where you guys are. And that's the way they like it. But anyway, I believe Ask Me does provide support, and I hope you guys are able to work together on the similar issues happening in Humboldt County.
Good. So thank you, Joe.
That's my comment.
Okay.
And I'd also mention that I grew up at Sacramento right next to Mercy Hospital, and I saw, you know, all my 11 brothers and sisters and myself were born there when it was almost all nuns and a great community hospital. They've expanded into a major cardiac center. I don't know what their union situation is, or nonprofit or profit, but they've run the same thing where they just continually beat down the employees and pay the low wages. Mad River Hospital is a different story. I think the going union would probably break them, so I applaud them for surviving the best they can. But their technique of using departmental budgeting means that, for example, after a few years of being a janitor, I went from 8 1/4 to 10-15 an hour. And because their departmental environmental services budget was so minimal, it was convenient and appropriate for them to get rid of me and hire somebody again at 8 1/4. So that's the kind of thing that laborers are forced with here, is that once you're good and you've proven yourself, it's time to get in somebody who's new and take available for less money. So at any rate, you know, I do wish Mad River all the luck. I'd love to see them union. I don't think they could pull it off. They'd probably go under.
Well, it's up to the workers whether to be in the union or not. So
yeah, exactly. I did have experience with that. I helped start the union at Mad River Brewing Company, the first union brewery in the country.
All right.
In 1996. And then was fired as a result because I was management supporting the union. And so I was a sacrificial lamb, and the union didn't really want to assist me. It was, you know.
Right.
As
a manager, you have no protection.
Yeah.
And workers have no protection. Keep doing what you can. We support you. Get the message out. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, the phone number, we have 8 minutes left. The phone number is 826-4805. Or if you're out of the area, 1-800-640-5911. That's 826-4805 or 800-640-5911. I was going to ask about Mad River and comparison. Is there any comparisons with what they earn or how they're doing? Of course, as we just learned, they're not union there.
Yeah, you know, Alan and Kelly may know more than I. I have one anecdote that a pharmacy tech that left St. Joseph that went to Mad River that was given a $3 an hour raise, and they matched her vacation accrual and everything else. So she got fed up with the way she was being treated and the way she was being paid. She went to Mad River, but that's just one story. I don't know if there's you know, other stories that Alan or Kelly might have. They might have more knowledge of it.
Well, let's take a caller first. We have Christy
sure.
in Eureka. You're on the air. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'd like to agree with the previous caller that identified herself as Sandy.
Sandra, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I am completely offended by that piece of PR that hospital puts out. And I just rip it up. And part of the reason I'm offended, I won't go into, but another short scenario is an elderly neighbor of ours was in the hospital, and instead of getting her up every 2 hours because she has to go to the bathroom, they tied her in her bed and took away her cell phone and let her wet herself all night long. And then when they got up in the morning, they wiped the bed down before they took her and showered. And most of us live in fear of having to go in there. We rely on the good nurses and staffing that they have. And we think potentially and really realistically that that cross needs to come down and a dollar sign needs to be put up there, because that's the only thing they're catering to. And so that's just my cryptic response. And I have a lot of admiration for the staff. The staff that did that particular incident were not on the, were not local, but that's disgusting that anything like that should ever happen. So that's my comment.
All right.
I support a local hospital, but not this one.
Well, thank you, and good luck to your neighbor.
Yeah, it's horrible. Horrible, and she's a very dignified woman.
Right.
And that was just so offensive. But, you know, I lived here a long time, and we used to have good medical care. People, right. Doctors used to want to come here. Not anymore.
Okay. No.
So right. I thank the staff that, under difficult circumstances, struggled hard to do a good job. Right. And we appreciate them. Right. But that hospital needs to change for the better.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know, Eric, our report, besides, you know, the statistics and the documentation and the footnotes and everything else, also highlights four personal stories of different workers who work there.
Mm-hmm.
And I really would encourage people to, you know, go on the NUHW.org website and read the report, download it for yourself, you know. But it does, I just want to highlight that there's some of the workers that are struggling to survive by working at this hospital. We have one worker who's highlighted in the report. Her name is Tasha. She's a mother of three. After working there for 5 years, she makes $12.40 an hour, and she has to work additional shifts on top of her full-time job to make ends meet, and she's still paying off bills from a visit to the emergency room at St. Joe.
The report also deals with the potential impact on the safety, correct, of poor policies. I know the Lost Coast Outpost addressed it, and the report gets into some detail about that with studies, comparative studies. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. One practice that is in effect at the St. Joseph Hospital that I've never heard of at any other hospital is sometimes patients who are stable but in frail condition are assigned what's called a sitter, a person who just sits in the room, and their job is to just observe that patient, right? Many workers in the food service department and the housekeeping department take on these sitting assignments as a way to supplement their job. So they might work an 8-hour shift, and then they might do another 8-hour shift right on top of it as a sitter, because, you know, you get paid the overtime. But this is somebody who's worked 8 hours already, and now imagine that person toward the end of the 8-hour second shift, after 15 hours of work, sitting, struggling to stay awake to observe a patient who might hurt themselves or who might need immediate assistance.
Listen, we're going to take one last real quick call.
Sure.
Julie and Eureka, and we're going to have to be quick because we're getting to the top of the hour here. Julie.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. My name is Julie Harris. I actually know Charlie from the Bay Area with past union organizing. Hello, Charlie.
Julie.
I am visiting family up here in Eureka, and so I'm hearing the program, and it's all new to me. And I guess my question would be, now that there's already been a year of negotiations, over a year or whatever, or since last October, I think you said.
Yes.
Then, and I totally can see why you get to a point that you need to put it out there to the public. So the question is, now what can the public do? I mean, where can we get signs for lawns or flyers, or how can we start building the support in the community for the workers at St. Joseph's?
Thank you very much, Julie. We're going to have them take it in, and with that,
I'll take the answer off the air.
Thanks. And with that, how can people get more information? We've got time, I think, to address that.
So I would encourage people to visit NUHW.org. follow up with some of the information we're going to post, Eric, to you, that you can put into your blog and also on your Facebook page here for KHSU. They can also contact myself, Alan McCloskey, or Kelly Shaner, or any of the other local representation that we have here as part of the bargaining committee for the employees at St. Joe and at Redwood Memorial.
Right. If somebody wants a lawn sign, they can, you know, email one of us, and we'll be happy to come to your house and put up a lawn sign.
All right. Yes, I will be putting up some information, and I'll put up whatever I get from St. Joe's as well on SoHum parlance. If you actually Google my name, Eric Kirk, you can do that. I want to thank each of you for coming in.
Eric, thank you for having us.
You bet.
And thank you to your listeners.
Thank you for some good callers. And Carell, I think this is going to be your last show with me, aren't you? You're moving out. We're going to miss you, Carell. I want to thank, again, everybody at KHSU. And thank you. And thanks, St. Joe's, for participating as far as they could. Maybe we can have a follow-up show with more participation from both sides.
If
I could give the last sign-off here, I'd like to just quote one of our local supervisors that we met with last week.